Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health, a late spring edition of the podcast here in middle of April. It is getting to that point in the calendar where teams are beginning to play for championships or find that momentum that will lead them to a championship. That's where we go on this week's edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast. A huge weekend for baseball's Keshawn Frett. A home run in every single game against New Mexico State. He had four straight games with a home run going back to the series against Louisiana Tech. So he has been absolutely locked in. And when you're playing like that, it is mandated that you get a spot on this podcast. And so we got the chance to catch up with Keshawn. And it's cool because as he wants to major and focus on broadcasting in many ways, we're going to get that perspective of baseball with a broadcast lens. Plus, we'll talk about the on-air mechanics of it and a little NBA hoops as well. So a quick pause, and then we'll hear from baseball's Keshawn Frett.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and I have some exciting news. Good Greek has been awarded National Mover of the Year. You've trusted the Good Greek for decades with your family's moving and storage needs. Now Good Greek is proud to be the nation's top mover. So when it's time for you to move across town or across the country, trust America's best mover, Good Greek. Go to goodgreek.com for Good Greek, the National Mover of the Year.
Good Greek, moving and storage, your superhero movers.
Joined now by the hitter of the week in Conference USA. There was going to be a riot in the baseball offices if you didn't win that award. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's start there. This past weekend, a home run in every single game, four straight homers overall. What has been working so well for you these last couple weeks?
Just seeing the ball up, trying to get pitches I can get under and draw. It's been helping me just get the pitches I want, attack pitches, hunt pitches, and take pitches that instead of chasing them like I was last year.
Remarkably, this is not the first time you've been on a streak like this. You've done this before. So how much does it help when you're in a groove like this for that next at bat, right? When you already know, hey, I've got a home run in the bag, looking for even more.
Yeah, that's the best feeling ever in baseball. It's like going up there knowing you've already got one on the day and just you can go up there and just try to put a good AB and get another good pitch that you want. But yeah, baseball is a big confidence thing. So when I'm playing like this, it's definitely fun to show up to the field every day and come get my work in and then be ready to play my next game.
It's funny because you guys were playing New Mexico State and you look back at that series last year and it was, you know, 60 something runs between the two teams. How much fun was that playing in Las Cruces at elevation where, you know, a fly ball is all of a sudden a home run?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. Like we were all missing like the fact that we can't go back to New Mexico State this year because we went there last year. Yeah, we're definitely going to miss that. I wish I could come back next year and play at New Mexico State. That elevation is just different. Our pitchers were definitely happy we didn't play there.
No, I'm sure.
Obviously.
We were joking with Coach Whitson about that from the beginning of this season. You know, you circle one series that's here instead of there. And he was like, yes, happy to be here.
100%.
Was there one you hit last year where you knew right away, like maybe at home that's not a home run, but here it definitely is?
Definitely. Yeah. There was a few of those. But even when we went to a place like Liberty, where the conference tournament's going to be this year, the ball flies there. Western Kentucky, the ball was flying there. It's just when you come here, I think the humidity and everything just makes it play more true. But I don't seem to have too much of a problem here.
Our advantage is when it's like a Sunday day game and that wind is howling out to left. That's where you guys get to feast a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely fun playing in the daytime here. The wind's definitely howling a little bit more.
I want to go back to when your baseball career was kind of first starting. When did you first hit one and go, oh, I can hit the ball really far? Not just like far for my age, but like beyond.
So yeah, I started playing at 3. That moment definitely came about probably when I was 14. Because when you're 12, you're still playing on the small fields. 13, you're like the first year of the big fields. My second year on the big fields, on the field, same size fields we play on today, that's when my BP round started to become like, okay, I can drive balls. I can hit them out with ease. And I'd say 14 is when I noticed like I had a little bit more power than the average person.
You sit back when you're that age and just kind of watch the highlights of, okay, I really smoked this ball. And, you know, it's your folks sitting in the crowd shooting you. It's not professional highlights or anything, but you're sitting back watching it going, all right, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely watch it. I have like my 14U like highlight reel on YouTube. And I don't recommend watching the audio and all that's bad. I made the video myself.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's definitely fun to watch and reminisce on it every now and then.
So that's where kind of the media production broadcasting part of it comes in, right? Because you're cutting your own highlight reel.
Yeah, I did everything. I do it for basketball more so, but yeah. That clip will always be legendary to me. It's like a 3-minute long video.
Basketball's the one where, you know, everybody has, and this is going to make me sound old, but the And One mixtape, right? That's basketball all over. So at what point did you decide, okay, baseball's the one? Because you had basketball, you had baseball, you even had a little bit of football, but when did you decide, okay, baseball is the one for me at the next level?
Definitely ninth grade summer, because I was real in between basketball and baseball at that point. I thought everybody told me I was a little bit better at baseball, but basketball is just like all my best friends played. Even my AAU circuit, like everybody was just family to me. That's who I've always been playing with. Baseball was like different teams because of the competition. It's just travel ball. You guest play here, guest play there. So I would say freshman summer, because that's probably when I went on a good hitting streak in summer ball that year, and I ended up committing to Florida for baseball. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shut everything down for every other sport. But I stopped playing football around then, but I still play basketball, but yeah, it was obvious that I was a baseball player then.
Do you still play like pickup hoops around campus here? Do you still keep those skills polished, or it's all baseball all the time?
No, it's all baseball. No, I've played around too much in basketball. I got to focus on baseball and can't risk injury.
That's all right. That's the big one, right? Because there's so many, and you know, the old people know it especially, but you go play that little pickup hoops with your friends, especially older than you, you'd be fine. But you know, when the 40-year-olds are doing it, they know pickup games are where the injuries happen all the time.
Yeah, and I'm too competitive. So if I go there, if I say I'm just going to shoot around, I'll end up playing
right
for 2 hours. So I just try to focus on hitting baseballs.
What was the hoops game like? I imagine a lot of under the basket kind of power basketball, but you tell me.
I was definitely a wing player. Sat there on the corner. I shot threes, but yeah, my favorite part was definitely dunking. I was dunking freshman year, so. Right. That was my big thing. If I couldn't dunk in the game, I was mad. But I'd definitely be happy to just sit there and shoot some threes every now and then.
What felt better, that first time you dunked a basketball or the first time you hit a baseball a mile?
Dang. Honestly, the first time I hit a baseball a mile, that the feeling there is better. But dunking in front of like a packed gym, I was on JV and everything, but it was still just like fun. I'd definitely say hitting a baseball though.
When you decided to move on from the pitching part of it, how challenging was that? Was that something you really wanted to stick with? Or you kind of were like, okay, I like hitting, I excel at hitting, that's where I want to go.
I even pitched in JUCO.
Yeah.
I always knew I was a hitter. I don't see how people play baseball and don't hit. It's the most fun thing to do. When you hit that, like I said, when you hit that ball a mile, there's no better feeling. It's amazing. But yeah, I never really was too much of a pitcher, so I'll definitely say I knew always that I was a hitter. But I do miss pitching. Like, I give the coaches here wits, and I always tell them the arm's feeling good today if you need one.
Do you talk to a guy like Ildi who does both here at FIU and be like, hey, you know, you're kind of picking his brains, or even if it's just, hey, what's that like at the D1 level?
Yeah, definitely. Seeing him do it, I mean, he did it even last year. He didn't play, but facing him in practice in the fall, like, I know it's real legit stuff with him either way, if he's pitching or if he's hitting. I don't try to pick his brain too much as I do with, like, Easton and Puck and all those guys, because I just, they're more of like the guys who are going to try to attack me and Friday night guys. But Fieldy keeps pitching, man. He's going to have some money to make.
Do you do a lot of that where, say, it's fall ball and the guys are pitching to you? Are you then like, hey, what'd you see in my swing that you're attacking so you can adjust?
Yes, sir, 100%. And that's why I say I'll pick Easton and Puck more. So it's like I faced probably Puck, Rundy, Kmart, Easton. I probably faced them each 6 to 8 times this year. So it's just like, yeah, after the third at bat, how are you attacking me? What are you seeing? Like, what is my weak points? And they all tell me the same things. That made it really pretty easy to work on my swing and know how people are going to attack me and everything. So definitely helps.
How much of that are you doing like right now? The tinkering with the swing? Because last year it was kind of working all the different gaps and finding the different spots in your swing. How much of that are you doing now relative to, you know, the off season or even last year at this time?
Yeah, that's a big switch up. In the offseason, that's all I'm thinking about.
Right.
How people are going to pitch me coming into the season. Just what am I feeling bad at that I need to work on. But right now, I'm honestly in midseason form, and I'm just going out there ready to play every day and just have fun, get pitches I like. Like, yeah, I'm not really thinking about too much. Nothing's going on up here, really.
There you go.
Just besides playing.
One thing that pitchers have adjusted to you is it's clear they want to pitch you on the inside part. And that has resulted in you wearing a lot of baseballs. When you realized this year that was going to happen, were you kind of excited by it? Okay, my on-base percentage is going to go up. Are you frustrated by it because it's less chances to hit monster home runs? What are you thinking as you realize, okay, this is going to be a spectacular hit-by-pitch season?
Honestly, I am excited. The boost in the on-base percentage and the OPS and everything, that's big to me. I'm a big OPS guy. So just knowing I can get on base and, like, make it tough for the pitchers to – I'm trying to throw them off their game plan. And a lot of right-handed pitchers especially are trying to dominate the outside part of the zone for our whole team. So just me getting up on the plate and making it tougher for them might throw them off. Even if they hit me, they get a little less confident to even come inside to some of the others. So I'm excited, and I love it. I love it. I love everything about it. And if you can locate the inside pitch, it's impressive. But you got to do it 3 times in a row to me. And that's pretty hard because, like you said, if you miss half a ball in, you're going to hit me because I'm right on the plate.
Yep.
And if you miss half a ball over the plate, yep, I'm going to smack it.
See ya. This is a stupid question. I'll admit that on the front end. What goes through your mind when you wear, like, a fastball? Other than, obviously, ow. As you walk to first, what goes through your mind in those spots?
Honestly, like, recently, like, right now, it's just job done. I got on base for Brylan. And when I have Brylan hitting behind me, I know no team's going to intentionally hit me or put me on base with a guy like that coming up to hit. So I'm just happy. I feel like we execute everything. I stay tight. And the fastballs honestly don't hurt as much as some of these curveballs and stuff. They always get me in weird spots, and the spin on them, I don't know. They hit me in my funny bone. They'll miss my guard and hit me on my skin. It's just weird. But yeah, I'm always excited when I get hit.
Was it tough for you to get to that point? Because I think it was in JUCO, you had a pretty scary hit by pitch, right?
Yeah.
So was it tough for you to get to the ability of, okay, I'm going to wear this, job done, instead of trying to get out of the way instinctively?
In all honesty, it probably took about 20 at-bats of that JUCO season just for me to feel more confident. And then I actually got hit in the head when I was wearing the face mask and everything. And, like, I didn't even feel it in phase, man. I've been good since then, like, I'm a tough guy. I feel like if anybody on the team should get hit, it should be me. I feel like I could wear him a little bit better than most people. And yeah, it's not a problem at all.
There you go. It's good to hear. When you mentioned Brylan hitting behind you, how does that kind of change your mentality? Because we saw a lot of Brylan hitting leadoff, get him as many at-bats as possible. Makes sense. Now he drops in the order, idea being you're on base or something like that. Where does it play into your mentality at all to have Brylan behind and kind of protecting you in a lot of ways?
It's definitely good. All right, let's say Alex gets on base in front of me. I know that if I get Alex to second base, or even if I just get out in any way, just get Alex over, move the runner, I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to score that inning. So it's just like, it does a lot for me on that. But even when he's batting leadoff, I still love it too because they have to attack such a good hitter, and I'm just there after him. And it's like two tough guys that are both on the plate. So regardless, either way, I love it, but...
No, it's for sure. There's no right answer, right?
Yeah, there's no right answer.
You'd have the same 9 every single game, and that's that. But that's just not how this team is built. And then even for you, some days you're out in the field, other days you're playing DH. Do you have a preference between those two? Do you like to be involved in both? Do you like to focus solely on hitting if you could choose any given day?
No, I definitely like to play a full game of baseball. I love to be out there in the field. I think our DH role this year has been great, being able to rotate guys and platoon outfielders or whoever's hitting good. Like right now, Ildi's got it on lock with him being a pitcher and him never knowing when he's going to throw. It's tougher for him to be in the outfield. So him swinging it the way he is and being our DH and pitching whenever we need him to is the best thing for our team. So it works. But yeah, personally, I love to be in the field playing and coming in hitting. I feel like you stay more locked in. You don't get as cold. Like Guida, you guys wouldn't understand how tough it is for Guida having to only hit and then be in the dugout for 2 innings and then come back out hitting again. It's definitely tough.
We've talked about it a couple of times with him on the broadcast as well. But for you, say you are DHing, what do you do in between innings to just try and stay loose, stay engaged?
In my opinion, I feel like the best way to do it is just by being a great teammate, like being a super hype guy for the defense, for the pitchers. You definitely might have to walk around. Whenever I'm DHing personally, I'll grab the bat, go to the bullpen, take some cuts, make sure I'm loose, make sure I'm moving. I might just run down with the guys who are warming up, the left fielder, the right fielder, and just run down there just to talk with them and then come back. It's just keeping your body alive, keeping it warm, keeping it fresh.
And going back to where it all kind of started for you, born in Ocala, come down here obviously and play high school baseball in South Florida. What was that transition like? I went to school in Gainesville for 4 years, so I know North Central Florida very well. What was that like for you to go from Ocala to Fort Lauderdale, Miami, which are obviously very different?
Yeah, it's so different. It's night and day. It's everything about it is different. The people, the culture, and the baseball is 100% different and better down here in South Florida at the high school level. It's just, there's nothing that compares to it. The pace of play is faster. And then just living down here, it just felt like I was on an island. It does not feel like a part of Florida. It's tropical down here. I don't even know how to explain it. But yeah, I loved it. I definitely loved it.
Everybody who lives down here tells you this, it's own country down here. Then that border ends at about Orlando. Even then, not really. You could argue it ends at Broward County. But still, generally, up to Orlando is one thing. And then you get to Ocala, Gainesville.
It's a little bit more small town, country-ish. A
little bit different. But you've been, you know, you've been pretty much at every level, I guess, except for Tallahassee. Central Florida for JUCO, North Central Florida, born in Ocala, and obviously playing down here. Have you enjoyed kind of seeing the different parts of Florida throughout your career?
100%, yeah. I love the way my career has gone and the places I've been able to stay and everything I've seen and the experiences I've made and the people I've met. I love everything about it, and I definitely think it's shaped me on the field and off the field. I love baseball for that. It's just given me a lot.
For sure. All right, we can get into the broadcasting portion of it. The signature home run call is something that I wanted to try and develop this year for a lot of FIU players. And yours was the first one I came up with. It was Kish Cash, Kishon Fret Makes a Splash. You get the alliteration, you get the rhyme, you get all of it. So first off, your thoughts on that being a signature home run call for you?
10 out of 10. Okay. I think it's fire. Some of my family heard it back and they've been saying it nonstop. Like, I got a little cousin named Brio. She'll be at this game when we play Kennesaw. Every time I call her now, she goes, Kish Cash. I'm like, oh my goodness. We all love it. We all love it.
Awesome. And now I got to give you a little bit of smack because I started to take it a little personal because I think 90-some percent of your home runs have come when I'm not on the call. Either you guys are on the road or our friend Zach Letson is up here doing the calls, including this past weekend. So is it because I made fun of the Sixers? Like, what is the reason that you and I have this apparent beef?
Nah. I don't know. I just got to know when you're coming to more games and I got you. I don't know. Hey, I'm pretty hot right now, so I hope to get you some
there
soon.
You go.
But whenever you're here, I'm always getting hits. I just don't get the home runs.
That's exactly right.
So exactly I don't know. Right. Maybe we'll just have to even it out a little bit.
Sounds good. I'm sure it'll come over time. I'm sure it'll come over time. I mentioned the Sixers. So I'll let you go off. We sit here as the NBA season is nearly wrapped up, some playing games. This is your platform. Vent however you would like about the Philadelphia 76ers season to this point.
I mean, yeah, definitely just going to hope for a good offseason. Hope that we, honestly, I don't know how people are going to feel about this, but we got to trade Joel Embiid. Either let him retire, do something, bro. It's ridiculous. This man, like, bro, I don't get him. He gets hurt. I don't know. I feel like we are really good, though. Like, Jared McCain, Tyrese Maxey, I feel like they're going to be a great duo in the future. We just need a better big. Honestly, I was afraid. Honestly, let me not even get too into it. But I was hoping we got AD. But I don't know. There's something in the works with that dude from France who the 76ers have that we're supposed to be sending him to Dallas for a second round pick and AD. And I think that'd be fire. I'm not going to lie. I think we'd be a problem next year.
So you want to move on from Joel Embiid, an injured big guy, to go get AD, injured big guy.
Nah, but AD's got five to eight years of good basketball. Sure. He's got 4 to 6 years of good basketball.
For sure. When he's healthy.
Yes, but he's going to be healthy. That's like, come on.
Well, he's more healthy than Embiid, I guess. Which is, you know,
Embiid's
the lowest possible
Embiid's mark. Cooked. Yeah, he's done.
Hey, listen, I'm just letting you go off. It has not been the best season for the Miami Heat, but Heat fans love few things more than relishing in 76ers tears. So you just keep on supplying it. Can't relish in Boston tears right now. They're too good.
They are good.
Knicks will do their thing eventually, and Heat fans will laugh at them. But right now, Miami Heat fans are laughing at the Sixers. So you're saying music
everybody's
to the audience
at the
is
Sixers.
Right now.
Everybody's laughing at the Sixers. It's okay. We'll be back.
The process is so dead.
The process is dead. And that's crazy because he was really one of my favorite basketball players. He still is one of my favorite basketball players ever, but it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if he's doing this on purpose or I don't know because it seems like he just gives up when the season's not going the way it's supposed to. But.
Yep. It's a mental thing, right? It's not physical. I mean, the guy's a physical freak. Mm-hmm. But you know it, playing here at this level. So much of it is mental.
Yeah. But I feel like if we were competing, I don't know. I feel like we'd definitely see a different side of him. But I don't know. It's not our guards. It's our bigs, bro.
Sure.
Defense is even good, but I don't know. Yeah, we just need some bigger players. I don't know.
When you're talking in the offseason, you said that was your ideal broadcast. Right now, as you kind of look ahead, what is the future for you? And it still is probably too early to know that. But what do you envision happening after these next few months and the season wraps up and where you want to wind up over the course of the next few years?
Definitely just hope to keep playing ball. Like, if everything was to go good, I would love to play baseball for the next 10 to 12 years.
Sure.
And then make the most out of it for me and my family. And then after that, honestly, I still don't know. Definitely would be nice to be a journalist or a commentator, sports broadcaster, anything of those lines. But also, I don't know, something that's been sticking out to me is coaching, honestly, as well, too. Not that I would pursue it too much, but like I said, it's just too early to know.
For sure. Do you find yourself coaching the guys now, some of the younger players?
Definitely. Like, being in this fifth-year role, a lot of guys look up to, even when I have pitchers looking up to me, some of the freshman pitchers, just on how to move off the field, how to move in the weight room, how to conduct yourself, and how I carry myself every day. It's just like, I don't know. It means a lot to me. And I definitely realized I had a lot more like advice to give to the younger generation, just like how to take care of your body, just anything, small things, little things, on the field things, off the field things. It's just, I don't know. I feel like I got a lot of knowledge to give to people. So maybe one day I'll use it.
There you go. To that point, how much fun has it been to watch a guy like Cole Cleveland, a freshman that has just exploded for this team?
It's fun. I'm out there with him. So, yeah. I mean, right now, it doesn't even feel like I'm watching the game. I'm watching my highlights. I'm watching his highlights. So it's like, dang, bro. He went to my high school too. So him being in eighth grade when I was a senior is just like, wow, bro. You're here with me now. And like you're saying, he's excelling. All the freshmen. Mark Hirsch hit a home run yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. That was some of the craziest. I don't know. We just didn't expect, like, we expected it, but the fact that it happened is just like, dang, bro, you're here. Go get yours now.
It's cool to watch, and it makes you feel old. So you just wait. You're going to be seeing these freshmen come up, play 3-4 years, graduation date for Cole Cleveland, and then you can come with the rest of us and get that AARP card and accept your oldness.
Yeah, hey, that's the way it has to go, though.
Yep. No way of stopping it. No way of stopping it. And you've seen Ryan Guida join us on ESPN+. You're more than welcome when your season wraps up with FIU and before you go to pro ball, same what Ryan's doing. You got that exact same spot with your name on it.
That'd be a pleasure, man. That'd be a pleasure. Thank you.
We look forward to it. All right, Kish, appreciate you hanging out. Yes, congratulations, sir, on this weekend.
Thank you for everything. Yep.
Great conversation with Kishon there, covering a whole lot of everything, and really enjoyed our time with him. Looking forward to him getting right back to work here this weekend as baseball takes on Kennesaw. That's going to do it for this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast. Like we said, this is championship springtime, so golf is out there hitting putts that, frankly, I could only dream of. Tennis is the number one seed as they look to continue their dominant run in postseason play, and baseball and softball are generating momentum with their conference tournaments right around the corner. So there's plenty to talk about, and that means it is anybody's guess as to where we go next time on the FIU Athletics Podcast. But appreciate you joining us today. Thank you, as always, to our friends at Baptist Health. And as always, pause up.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest techniques to give you an accurate diagnosis, along with surgical and non-surgical solutions, no matter who you are. Our team of specialists will do everything to help you perform at your best again. And with personalized recovery and rehabilitation plans, you'll be back to living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to Pro Level Orthopedic Care.